are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, October 29th, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment is the law? In the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet, your enemies under your feet.' If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I want to invite you for the next few minutes to reflect on your priorities. Not so much what your priorities should be or what you imagine your priorities to be. I want to reflect for a moment on what your priorities really are. How does your daily living reflect your priorities? Now, one way to get at the answer to this is to take a look at your checkbook. And I almost said look at your check register, but how many of us carry such a thing these days, right? So instead I'll say open your browser, pull up your bank statement, look at your account information, and then take a look at about the last 3 months of your statement. That'll give you a pretty good idea of your priorities. Now, for many of us, certainly for Zani and me, the most significant entries month by month will cover housing expenses, mortgage payments, taxes and insurance, homeowners association dues, utilities, that sort of thing. That makes up the most significant chunk of our monthly nut. So one could fairly say that having a comfortable home in a nice neighborhood close to my work and convenient to town, and a home that can accommodate our family and friends when they come to visit, is a very high priority for us. I suspect that there are others among us whose checkbook would reflect a similar priority. And how do you spend your days? For many of us, 8 to 10 to 12 hours or more a day are spent at work. If we're fortunate, we're doing work we love, work that makes more of us. If we're not so fortunate, though, we're doing work that's a grind, or maybe work that's even soul-deadening. We're working to live rather than living to work. Regardless, most of us spend the better part of our waking hours at work. So that's how we prioritize our time. Now, these priorities around money and time reflect my story, and maybe they reflect yours too. But let's look a little deeper. Let's look inside these priorities, which are outward and visible realities for many of us, to see whether there might be something more at work. And to do that, let's turn to our gospel reading this morning. Just as we have for the last several Sundays in Matthew's gospel, as we see Jesus heading into the last weeks of his life, we find him having a conversation with some religious authorities. And once again, a lawyer tries to put him to the test. "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, here's something really important. Notice the priorities that Jesus is establishing. It's no accident the order that these commandments come in. The first, the most important, the one right at the beginning, love God. Love God with everything you have, heart, mind, and spirit. Love God wholeheartedly. And then and only then, love your neighbor with that same wholehearted love you're giving to God. So what does it mean to love God literally wholeheartedly? Well, we have a clue last week in another of Jesus' confrontations with the religious authorities. You remember they show up and hand him a coin, and the coin has a picture of Caesar Augustus on the front of it. And the question that's been posed to him is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? And Jesus says, show me the coin. Now, the religious authorities, remember, think they've got him in a trap. Because Caesar Augustus thought of himself as a god, and there were some very religious Jews who thought it was blasphemous and idolatrous to use these coins that bore on them the image of one who considered himself to be a god. So if Jesus says, oh, we'll use this coin to pay the tax, well, then the religious authorities have him, right? He's an idolater and a blasphemer. On the other hand, if he says, well, you can't use this coin to pay the tax, then he's guilty of treason. All right? So it looks like they've got him in a box. You know, the question is, where do your allegiances lie? But Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but then give to God everything that belongs to God. The things that are God's, in other words, are everything. All that we have and all that we are, that's what belongs to God. And that's how we're called to love God. I read something a Jesuit wrote this week that describes this wholehearted love of God like this. To love God with all our hearts is to be seized so completely by the love of God that all the desires of my heart and all the actions, affections, thoughts, and decisions which flow from them are directed to God. Everything we have directed to God. So another way to think about this is loving God with all our heart, mind, and spirit is about devoting ourselves to something larger than ourselves, devoting to loving something larger than ourselves, to loving something beyond ourselves, loving something other than your own self-centered, egoic desires. Loving that which calls forth the best from you. Dedicating yourself to the source of love and the source of life. That's loving God wholeheartedly, is getting over yourself. You know, giving yourself to something larger than you. And it's in loving this way that's the foundation of all of our moral and ethical principles. You know, we love our neighbors. You see why the order is important here? We love our neighbor because they, like us, are made in God's image and likeness. In a very profound and mysterious way, loving our neighbor is also a way of loving ourselves, of having compassion for ourselves. Love that flows outward from the divine image stamped on our own hearts, and that's that divine image that's stamped on our own hearts that we're recognizing when we say we love God wholeheartedly. You know, the love that flows from that divine image stamped on our own hearts will flow in return outward and then back to us. It's a beautiful circle, beautiful cycle. Priorities. Love God wholeheartedly. And it's only that out of that wholehearted love that we're able to fully and completely love our neighbor. So let's bring Jesus' priorities back into the consideration of our own everyday priorities. Remember the priorities around our money and time? Our homes represent for many of us our single greatest investment. Are our homes places of warmth and love and hospitality and compassion? Are our homes places where God's love is known and where the love of God is expressed and taught and experienced? If our homes are the location where God's love is taught and known, if our homes are places where God's love is made manifest, then we've got our priorities right. Our love for God shared with all who entered. Is that your home? I had the privilege to be in a home last night of some dear St. Thomas people. This is a home where the love of God is just made manifest. And you can see in the faces of the children who are being taught that that God's love is their priority and to share that love with others. It was a beautiful experience to be with this dear family in their home. Such love in that place. And I hope my home would reflect that also. And our time, whether our work is deeply satisfying or whether it's simply a way we support ourselves and our families, how do we use the time we devote to work? Do we treat our fellow employees? Do we treat our customers? Do we treat everyone whose paths we might cross with respect and kindness and compassion? Are we working to be agents of healing and grace when conflict arises? And you know, conflict arises in the workplace all the time. How do we handle that? Do we stoke the conflict? Are we participants in the conflict? Or do we try to love the unlovable ones who we run across every day, the ones who are really out there stoking the conflict? You know, do we try to love them the way God loves us? You know, if our own work and our workplaces become the places and the occasion for loving our neighbor just as God loves us, then even a not-so-great work situation can be redeemed. You know, you can work in a pretty unhappy place and yet have that redeemed if you're bringing your compassionate heart into the workplace. Regardless of what a moron your boss is. Oh, sorry. Priorities. Loving God wholeheartedly. And then, out of that love for God, loving others as we are loved. Living out these priorities in the places of our most significant investments of financial and personal resources, that's our great calling. You know, that's how we live out God's love for us every day, is understanding what our priorities are and then just living them out in the places where we live and move and have our being. Now, there's some other priorities I want to reflect on for a moment. Priorities that you're acknowledging by virtue of your presence here today, and your presence here Sunday by Sunday. You and I have another home besides the one where we'll lay our heads at night. And you're sitting in it right now. We come to this home each week to offer our thanks to God for everything we have. To offer thanks to God for our very lives. We come here to learn how to love God, to experience the love of God, to learn how to share that love with our neighbor. Now let me ask you this. What would you do if the roof on your home started to leak? What would you do if a professional like a seismic engineer told you that you and your family might be at risk in your home in a significant seismic event? What would you do if the foundation of your home was settling unevenly, causing the floors to crack and separate, sort of like you see here between the... I mean, just saying, right? What would you do if your family needed room to stretch and grow? Well, I'll bet you wouldn't do nothing. I'll bet you wouldn't say, yeah, these things need to be tended to, but I'm going to let someone else take responsibility for that. No, you wouldn't do nothing, and you wouldn't shift the responsibility to someone else, and neither would I. No, you and I would get to work. We would make the repairs and the maintenance and improvement of our home a very high priority. Well, you get where I'm going, right? You know, our church home, this immensely beautiful and sacred space, the stone, the wood, the glass, the organ, the altar, the Christus Rex. This home where we learn how to love God and share God's love, our home needs our attention. That's what All Things Bright and Beautiful is all about. We've been in the silent phase of the campaign for about a month now, and we've made some really great progress. Come to the luncheon in a little while to hear about the progress. I think you're going to be so pleased when you hear where we are right now. And come to the luncheon to hear that and to learn how you can participate. Learn how you can do your part to preserve and protect and nurture this exquisite home we all share. And learn how you can support the work we share here by making your annual pledge of support to the St. Thomas Financial Plan for Mission. Here it comes. This is the sermon on the amount. You knew it was coming, didn't you? You've been waiting for it. You know, this year, so let me tell you how this is going to work. This year, everyone in the parish is going to be invited to receive a fellow parishioner into your home for a visit. To talk about how we can maintain and grow this beautiful space. To talk about how we can support the amazing work that's going on here. You know, this all doesn't happen for free. Right? This place doesn't exist for free. We don't get, somebody said to me not too long ago, well, doesn't the diocese support us? I can only wish. In fact, it's the other way around. I mean, we ship a boatload of money off to the diocese every year, and that's a good thing, because we're one church together in mission, and we need to, and the diocese is our great conduit to support other churches that aren't as fortunate as we are to support mission, not only here locally in Puget Sound and Western Washington, but all across the world and all across the church. So it's a good thing that we're supporting the diocese, but you know, they ain't supporting us. So that's just the way it works. This is not free. Now, I hope you welcome these folks when you get a call from them. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do this. The person who's on the other end of the phone call is very brave. And you know what I'm talking about. These aren't professional fundraisers and professional development officers. These are folks just like all of us, and they are so in love with their parish, they're so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're motivated to reach out and do something that's pretty difficult. You know, sometimes I'd rather have a root canal than do this. Right? I'm serious. But you know, it's got to be done. And we do it from love. We do it from dedication. We do it from faith. We do it from generosity of heart. So please be responsive when you get that call. You know, it's somebody who's, it's taken a lot of courage for them to make that call. And so I hope you'll respond with the warmth and the hospitality that I know all of us have here. Welcome them to your home. Invite them in and share your story with them. And let them share their story with you. Now give them the privilege of sharing their love for God with you. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, we are one family. We're all in this together. And we're responsible to God and to each other. Now, if we're to know God's love and then to share that love with others, we need a home from which we can do it. Our community needs this safe and beautiful space to continue to be in, to continue into the next generation. Just like those who came behind us have left us with this beautiful space. We need to continue that and grow it. So when you get the call, I hope you'll welcome that faithful St. Thomas friend into your home. As I've said, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But welcome them. They're just folks like you. So let me conclude by saying this. However you decide to participate in all things bright and beautiful, you will be joining your friends and fellow Christians in continuing a great tradition here. You'll be a part of the communion of saints that have made the corner of 12th Street at 84th Avenue in Medina a place of beauty and holiness and love for almost 75 years. And there will be enough. There will be enough bread to nourish the body. There will be enough wine to nourish the spirit. There will be enough to do the works of love that God is calling us to do right here. There will be enough. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.